Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. You say, preacher, how long are we going to sing those songs? Well, till we finish the book of Revelation, all right? We started those with this study, and that was in January of last year. So here we are 18 months later, and we're in chapter 21 tonight, beginning in verse number 18 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 21 and verse number 18. Because we had a missionary last Sunday night, let me remind you of where we're at in the Bible. We are looking at the New Jerusalem, the city that comes down from God out of heaven. It hasn't come yet. The New Jerusalem, that eternal abode of the church, has not appeared yet. This city that we're reading about in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 to 14, we looked at the majesty of that city, the bride, the builder, the brightness, and the border. We looked in verse 15 to 17 at the measurements of that city. Remember a couple of weeks ago, it was 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs by 12, a perfect square. Furlongs measured as an eighth of a mile comes out to 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, and the height of it is equal to the breadth of it. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that looks like. You could say it looks like a cube. You can say it looks like a pyramid. Somebody talking after church Sunday night said it's a cube, but it's set on its tip at the bottom. I don't know how that works with gravity, if it worked that way, but God is the God of gravity and He can change anything He wants to. So all I can say is this, I don't understand all of what the Bible tells me is future, because it's future and we haven't seen it yet. But I know this, it's going to be grand and glorious. And it's going to be this big city that's as big as we talked about, from the Mississippi to the Atlantic, and from the northern border of the United States to the southern tip of Florida. All that is going to be one city inhabited by the saints of God. And it hasn't been built yet. Now see, that's the amazing thing, because where are people right now that have died? Where are the saints of God that have left it to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord? Where are they? They're in heaven. What does heaven look like? Not counting the New Jerusalem. Don't tell me street of gold. Don't tell me gates of pearl. That's the New Jerusalem. It's not here yet. What does the place look like that people are right now? You know what my answer is? I don't know. But I know it's wonderful. Jesus said, in my Father's house are, present tense, many mansions. So there's mansions up there in that place called heaven where the saints are. But this place, the New Jerusalem, is going to be, and I used this phrase last time, don't let it scare you, it's going to be an upgrade from heaven. Now, that sounds almost blasphemous to think it that way, but wherever our loved ones are now, they're with the Lord, they're in a beautiful place called heaven, and really the Bible gives no description of that place. But it gives a glorious description of that New Jerusalem that we're going to move into after the tribulation and after the millennium and after the great white throne of judgment in Revelation 21. We see this city coming down. So, I have not seen nor ear heard the things which the Lord hath prepared for those that love Him. This city that we're looking at here in Revelation, when we start thinking about heaven and start thinking about the New Jerusalem, I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. He's the prince of preachers. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, when you speak of heaven, let your face light up and radiate with a heavenly glow. Now, I'm going to repeat that because I like the next part, but when you speak of heaven, let your face light up and radiate with a heavenly glow. When you speak of hell, your everyday face will work. That's rough preaching right there, isn't it? When you speak of hell, your everyday face will do. But when you speak of heaven, you should have a face that lights up and radiates. All right, tonight we're in verse number 18. We've looked again at the majesty of the city in verse 9 to 14, the measurements of the city, verse 15 to 17. In verse 18 to 21 tonight, we're going to look at the materials of the city. And then verse 22 to verse number 27 will be the members of the city. The materials and the members. Let's begin in verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every one gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, nor there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's look tonight at the materials. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. We saw last time in the measurements of the city that the wall is 216 feet high. Now again, the commentators or the scholars or the Bible students kind of debate, is it 216 feet high or 216 feet thick? Well, I don't know why they bother telling us the thickness of the wall. The height of the wall is usually what you measure something by. So let's go with 216 feet high. And the Bible says that the materials of that wall were, as it were, of jasper. Jasper is the color of, are you ready for this? Translucent crystal diamond. So what does that look like? We'll know when we get there. All right? It's not going to be a... What's that fake diamond ring that sometimes girls get end up with, and it's not the real thing? This is going to be a jasper, the color of translucent, which I know what that is, but I don't know how to describe it. Crystal diamond, clear and sparkling. That's going to be the wall of that city. You're going to need blinders. You're going to need sunglasses if you tried to look at it in your human body. But thank God we'll have a glorified body, and we'll be able to handle the brightness of it. It's going to be something that's never been stained by sin. Again, and I don't want to... Heaven has been stained by sin, has it not? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, in the day that seraphim, that Lucifer, rebelled in heaven against God. Even the heaven of heavens, we saw it in Job this morning, that the sons of God appeared before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Sin has reached the highest heights of heaven itself. And so God is even going to do away with that when he makes this new Jerusalem and comes down to dwell among his people. And the wall itself is going to be of jasper. It's going to shine like that. And the Bible says, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. The city. The wall around it. And then the city inside of it. Now, I don't know what the city looks like. Again, I know how big it is. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. That's a big city. I don't know if those mansions that Jesus talked about in John 14 are in that place also. I kind of suspect they probably are. There's got to be somewhere for us to stay. Although I don't know why. We could live outdoors. Perfect temperature. With no need of electricity. No need of bathrooms, I would imagine, up there. No need of those facilities. So we could, but I just imagine this glorious city that the Lord has prepared. The city was of pure gold like unto clear glass. The city means the houses, the places. If we could get an aerial shot of that new Jerusalem, it'd blow your socks off. I got my rest this afternoon after lunch, you know, the regular Sunday thing, church, lunch, rest. Then I got my exercise. While I was getting my exercise, I flipped the television on and I like watching the PGA golf tournament. It was somewhere up in Connecticut, I'm not sure where, but these guys are golfing and they do that aerial view of this golf course. And those golf courses on the PGA Tour are perfectly manicured. You couldn't find anything nicer looking than that. And in the midst of all of them are these big condo places. I don't know what else, where all these condos are in the middle of the golf course. Can you imagine what those cost? And here in the middle of them are identical looking, big, beautiful condominiums where people live in there. And as they do that aerial view of an earthly scene, you just kind of look at that and say, man, that's gorgeous. That's just beautiful. And that's in Connecticut. I mean, I could understand if it was in Florida or something like that, or Hawaii, but Connecticut. Can't even pronounce Connecticut, alright? Can't even say that one right. Alright? This aerial view of this city we're going to makes that PGA golf tour thing look like a dump. Because when we look, if we could get down and look an aerial view of this place, the size of it and the wall around that's just bright and shining and meeting the eye, and then the city itself, like pure gold, like unto clear glass, a clear color, but that gold sparkle to it. What kind of place this is going to be? Walls of jasper, the city of pure gold. It says in verse 19, and the foundations of the wall. Who cares? Who cares about the foundation of something? I mean, drive around Byesville, would you? Do you even see the foundation? The only time we ever notice a foundation is if it's crumbling. If it's not supporting the rest of the building. We usually don't care. But remember, this is a city that is like a satellite being suspended in space. And you see the foundation from the underside. And so that foundation does matter because you see it as much as the city. And the Bible tells us there are 12 layers to that foundation. And every one of those layers is made of a different precious stone. The things that people down here kill for and run slave mines to dig out is going to be used in the foundation of the building. You use the cheap stuff in the foundation. And here the foundation is going to be made according to verse 19. The foundations of this place are visible and beautiful as it sits above the earth. And the first, it says in verse number 19, they were garnished with all manner. The first foundation was jasper. That's the same thing the wall was made out of. Jasper is its base color, the translucent crystal diamond. Then it says, and the second, sapphire. Now I'm just going to give you the colors of what these are. And again, we can't, I have not seen nor ear heard. We can't even begin to imagine and picture what this is going to look like. There are 12 stones in the 12 layers of foundation, each one a precious stone. There's 7 colors in a rainbow. There's 12 colors in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. The second one is sapphire. That's a blue color. Some of you are familiar with sapphires, birthstones, things like that. But this whole foundation is garnished with sapphire. And it says, and the third, chalcedony. The chalcedony is a white stone. So you got these 3 different levels of this foundation, each one embedded with all these stones, garnished, the Bible says, with these different stones, just shining out the foundation. And the fourth, it says, was like an emerald. We all know what an emerald color of an emerald. It's green. So you've got the diamond, the blue, the white, and the green, all in verse number 19. Then we get to the fifth, and it's sardonyx. That's a mixture of red and white. That doesn't mean it's orange, it means there's a mixture. You can look at it and sometimes it looks red and sometimes it looks white. And that's the fifth layer of the foundation. The sixth is like sardius, that's blood red. That's just as red as all red can be. All these different colors in this foundation is going to be beautiful. It's going to be magnificent. Nothing stained or tainted by sin. The seventh, it says, is chrysolite. That's another name for gold. A foundation, a layer of foundation that's just pure gold. The foundations of this city. The seventh is beryl. That's sea green. Sea green, not river brown. All right, we went over to Zanesville for our anniversary, Sonia and I, and we found a restaurant we'd never seen before. Found it on there, and it was right on the Muskingum River. It was a beautiful setting. It was outdoor, sitting right on the river, out there in a little courtyard, and eating there, and we had a wonderful time. We'll go back again, but looking at the Muskingum River was not really a pleasure. Seeing brown water rushing by you really doesn't say, oh, isn't that beautiful, isn't that wonderful. This one's going to be sea green, that perfect sparkling. When you see the pictures of paradise and the Pacific and all that in these different places and the lagoons where you can see clear to the bottom, that's the color that's in this eighth level. The ninth is this topaz. That's a yellow color. God sure can paint. He sure can decorate. Could you imagine any other colors but the sky being blue and the clouds being white? I mean, try to visualize it being any other color now. You know, the sky's green and the clouds are orange. I don't know what. Nothing else. I think the perfect thing. Now, maybe it's just because we're used to it, but the blue with the white clouds and the bright orange sun up in the sky, everything just seems to be a perfect. That's a masterpiece of God's artistry. And here this foundation will be the same way. The tenth, the Bible says, is as chrysoprasus. Yeah, that one. That's apple green. All right, different than sea green, that's apple green. So even different shades of the same color, God can make it so beautiful. The 11th is like jacinth, that's violet. And the 12th is like amethyst, that's purple. So look at the cut. You've got diamond, blue, white, green, red and white, blood red, gold, sea green, yellow, apple green, violet, purple. Joel, where's Joel at? You're going to see every one of those colors. I just tease him. He can't distinguish certain colors. Every one of those colors is just going to shine out. And Kara's consoling him now. It's going to be shining out and bright, and you'll get to see it. We were talking to I think we heard a preacher this week that he can't see. No, I'm thinking of a friend of mine. Couldn't see colors. I stayed in the hotel with him one time, and we were at a preacher's meeting, and his wife matched all his clothes. Put his pants with his shirt, with his tie, with his suit, and hung them all on the right hangers. And we went and stayed at a hotel, and his habit was to get up at 4:30 in the morning. That's not my habit. And he would get up at 4:30 in the morning and turn the coffee maker on in the room and get in the shower, just start making noise at 4:30 in the morning. By the second day, I said, if you do that again, I'm going to go over to that clothing rack and mix all those suits up. Move the shirts and the ties and everything around. One of these days, we're going to get to a place where the foundation, you get the foundation of that place is all these bright, beautiful colors that God has designed. Verse number 21. And the 12 gates. We talked about the wall, we talked about the city, we talked about the foundation, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate, the Bible says, made of one pearl. That's a big pearl. If the gate is 216 feet high, the wall is 216 feet high. The gate's usually as high as the wall. That's a big pearl. But it's not too difficult for God. And he can put that big pearl right there. And the thing is, that door, that gate is never shut. It's always open. So here's that big, beautiful pearl. No measurement is given of the site of that gate. But it doesn't really matter because according to verse 25, the gates of that city are never closed. And then it says this in verse 21. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Would you notice something here? The street of that city. You know what we always say? The streets of that city. But according to the Bible, there's only one street in the New Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how that works. You know, there's some towns you go into, even Byesville and Cambridge have it, where the street starts here and then jots over this way and starts back down this way. I'm not sure how that street works in the New Jerusalem. 1,500 miles and only one street? I don't know how that works. We'll wait till we get there to see it. But it's the street of gold. All right? The street of gold. Only one street. It's singular. Or as it were, transparent glass. That which is highly valued on earth is used for foundation stone in heaven. It's used to walk upon, gold, to walk upon as something for your bare feet in heaven. That's the materials of that city. Then if we get down to verse number 22, put your seatbelts on. Because here's some stuff that you might not have ever heard before. The members of that city. Who lives in the New Jerusalem? Who lives there? Well, the Bible tells us. Notice, beginning in verse 22, it tells us, first of all, what is not there. What is not in the New Jerusalem? It says in verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein." There's a lot of folks that in interpreting the Bible cannot separate the millennium from eternity. In fact, some of the Bible commentators, as I was reading, studying this back at that day, when I was doing this, they thought that Revelation 21 was another description of the millennial kingdom. They couldn't differentiate or separate the two. But the difference is, in the millennium, according to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, the temple of God is there in the millennium. It's there in Jerusalem. They rebuild it by permission of the Antichrist. Then he takes it over halfway through the tribulation and puts himself in that temple, showing himself that he is God. There's a temple in the millennial kingdom. There's no temple in eternity. Because God dwells among his people, not in his own separate place. So the Bible says, "I saw no temple, and I saw. Notice this, this is also the words "and I saw." It's the last of 25 times we've read that phrase in the book of Revelation. This has been a continuous story. Go, "and I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw this." It's a continuation of everything that we've seen from Revelation 4:1. "After this I looked, and behold." All the way to this last time that John says, "And I saw no temple therein." The temple's not necessary, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, it says, are the temple of it. But what else is not there? Verse 23. "And the city had no need of the sun." We talked about this earlier in Revelation chapter 21. There's no need of the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. We don't understand how that can work, because we think the sun can only reach something in its direct path, but here we're going to have things that the sun just reaches everywhere around it. There was no sun, neither is there a moon. So what is not there? No temple, no sun, no moon. "For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The presence of God will illuminate that city. Verse 25. Look at what it says in verse 25. The end of the verse. "For there shall be no night there." Again, there's night in the millennial kingdom. As far as we know, it's 24-hour periods just like it is now. But in eternity, there's no night. It's always bright. It's always light. There's no temple, no sun, no moon. There's no night there. Verse 27 says this, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." There's nothing in that place that defileth, that makes it dirty. It says, "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination," not allowed in that city, not going to be there, "or maketh a lie," not going to be there. There are some things that are without that city, that aren't allowed in that city. That's going to make it the New Jerusalem. So what is not there is these different things. Now, here's the good part. What is there? Look at verse number 27. "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." The only people inside that city are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everybody else is outside. Everybody else. There's only... I'm going to get ahead of myself. There's three places. Number one, there's the lake of fire. Hell no longer exists. Hell has offered up the dead which were in it. In Revelation chapter 20, they stood before the great white throne of judgment. Their names were not in the book of life, and they were cast into the lake of fire. Hell is in the center of the earth. Earth no longer exists. It's been done away with. So hell has no place to go. So God creates the lake of fire for them to spend eternity in. Where is that? Somebody said that it's in the New Jerusalem. I don't find that in the Bible, and I think that would defile it. So I don't know where it is, but it's not around where that is. But it's either that or it's the New Jerusalem. You and I, church age saints, will be living in that New Jerusalem. They whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The New Jerusalem will be the eternal dwelling place of the church. Of the church. Now, if you're paying attention, that's going to leave some questions. And that's where we're going. Notice this. What happens there? All right, what is not there? What is there? What happens there? Verse 24. Here's one of the puzzling couple of verses in the ending of this chapter. Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Someone is going in and out of that city. Someone is not dwelling in it, but walking in the light and the glory of it. Let me read you what Clarence Larkin said, and I read this just so you know I'm not off my rocker. Here's what Clarence Larkin said. Shall not God, in some manner as not yet revealed, take off righteous representatives of the millennial nations that he purposes to save, and when the earth is fit to be of the abode of men, place them back on the new earth, that they may increase and multiply and replenish as Adam and Noah were told to multiply and replenish the present earth. We saw in Revelation 21 at the beginning, I saw a new heaven and a new earth and a new city called the New Jerusalem. The new earth, a new earth, a new earth. Why did God make a new earth? If everybody lives in the New Jerusalem, what's the purpose of the earth? And again, to quote J. Vernon McGee's phrase, which I like, there are going to be earth dwellers throughout eternity. You and I that are saved and redeemed and bought by the blood of Christ, the church, will live in the New Jerusalem. The Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, the millennial saints, are going to, get this, inherit the earth. Remember Matthew chapter 5? Boy, people get so out of whack and misread Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is sitting on the top of a mountain speaking to 12 Jewish disciples and giving them the rules and regulation for the coming kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. That phrase appears only in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? That's that coming kingdom of God. And the Jews are going to dwell in it. And those of the Old Testament and the tribulation and the millennial saints are going to dwell on the new earth while the church is living in the New Jerusalem. Now, this is not a one's got it better than the other. They both got it fantastic. But they both inherit what God has prepared for them. He told those Jewish disciples, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You don't become a child of God by being a peacemaker. You don't run around and break up a fight and they say, oh, you're a child of God. You're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's a little bit of a difference there. These Jews are going to inherit the earth, literally. Always interpret the Bible literally as long as you possibly can. And he told those Jewish people, they're going to inherit the earth. And in Revelation 21 and the beginning of chapter 22, that's exactly what they get. They get the earth. They get it for themselves. And so we find in verse 24, and the nations of them, not just the Jews, but the nations. Someone again has suggested there will be 12 nations in that new earth. Just like there's 12 tribes and 12 gates with the names of the 12 apostles on them. And there's 12 levels of the foundation. The number seems to be running through. There are going to be 12 nations on that new earth that are there to come into the city, the Bible says. They'll walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The nations of earth will come into the New Jerusalem through the open gate to bring their praise, their honor, and glory to Him that sits upon the throne, to Him that dwells in that city. Here again is the difference. We are not going to serve God throughout all eternity. We are going to praise Him throughout all eternity. Those that dwell on the earth are going to serve Him for all eternity. And again, don't use your human mind to say, well, praising Him is better than serving Him. Is it really? Shouldn't we be doing both, and aren't they on equal basis? But in God's got this fixed for eternity. He's going to have His new Jerusalem. He's going to have the church around Him, and they're going to praise Him. And He's got the inhabitants of this new earth that are down there repopulating it, just like they have in times past. Again, we talk about that new earth with no sea. If that earth is the same size as the earth is right now, with no sea, 72% of the surface right now is covered by water, then it isn't. We got 7.7 billion people on the earth right now, with 72% of it unusable, plus much of the land no one living on. And then you got that new earth, you can fit billions of people on that new planet when He starts after the millennial kingdom. So here we've got that. What is happening there? The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The kings and nations of the new earth will come into the new Jerusalem to worship. These kings, these nations, are those glorified bodies of the Old Testament saints that have been resurrected. The tribulation saints that have been resurrected. The millennial saints that at the end of millennium, when all things cease to be, some of them who are still alive at the end will enter into this new earth. And they'll be there, and they'll go in and out of the kingdom and bring their glory into it. This city of the new Jerusalem. Next time we'll begin in chapter 22, the verse 5 verses give us the description of that new earth. We've seen in chapter 21 the description of the new Jerusalem. That's wonderful. That's glorious. That's great. In chapter 22 we're going to see a description of the new earth. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. This stuff the book of Revelation talks about, again, I just kind of chuckle. I saw recently on Facebook some people talking about all the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. All these things have already happened. If you rightly divide, if you look at it correctly, all these things have already happened. And I look at that, and my first thought is, back in chapter 9, you remember when the bottomless pit was open, those little creatures came out with faces like lions, or faces like men and teeth like lion, hair like women, tails like scorpions. I want to say, all right, where is that in history? And you really got to twist things to make that. Where is all this stuff? Where is this new Jerusalem coming down that looks like that does? There's nothing on earth that looks like that right now. Where is this new earth we're going to see in chapter 22? There's nothing like that now. This stuff's all yet to come, and it's going to be glorious. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.